Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Right, so it's Red News Podcast 71, and I promise it's not going to be as big a debacle as the one in the Brussels bar where I fucked up. So I lost the recording, but you can get it through iTunes. So I had to Google about 100 pages to work out a way to retrieve the audio. And I did it thinking, right, yeah, we were saying some really profound things here. And I retrieved it and listened and thought, fucking hell, that is embarrassing. It was What Is Your Favourite TV Death? But a reader bought the mag today, and then he went, Bobby Ewing. But I don't think that counts because Bobby Ewing came back. Ben and Nathan said the Nana in the Royal Family. Do you have a favourite TV death? This is Sam, Ben, Nathan and me.
I have to go back on that one.
But yeah, we must never mention this again because it's probably the worst subject ever. A couple of things I forgot to mention. We know a few lads. They went to Brussels because it saved them about 20 quid rather than direct via Stockholm and Copenhagen, which is just ridiculous. So they sent a photo from Stockholm bar on the transition through to, and Shane getting refused in the museum bar when he said, I feel a bit rough from last night, can I have a shandy? And the barman went, I never do a shandy. So, and everyone saying the bar, you saw a few rough heads today. Right, so we've just beaten Watford 3-0. My thoughts and then everyone else. I thought it was a pretty meh 30 minutes, but it's one of those games you think if it wasn't 1-1, oh shit, we're going to capitulate. But we grew into it, confidence grew. I thought there were good performances from Fernandes. I thought Martial again, 3 goals in a week. And cut to the chase, this week has been a good week.
Yeah.
For Manchester United. Right, so here we go. Ben?
Yeah, I mean, I agree, it's been a good week in terms of results. Performances, I'm still not convinced. I think if you look at the 3 games, I know you were quite enthused by Chelsea. I thought we had a good second half, but I thought we were probably fortunate to go in 1-0 against Chelsea at half time. And I thought the same today, really. I thought 1-0 massively flattered us today at half time. And 1-1 probably flattered us at half time in Bruges. So, but, you know, trying to be positive, I think, yeah, absolutely, Chelsea was a huge result. And today was probably even bigger, because how many times this season we had a good result, like City away, and then followed it up with a disappointing result. So it was really, really important one today.
Well, we're on a cusp of, do you know, Sunday, not getting, but next week could be the only time we would win 3 league games consecutively this season.
Is that right?
I mean, how bad is that? But going back to, I did the one point from Bruges, I do think, and it's not a dig, but I do think you view a match more critically when, the greater you, than if you're not there, because we were all so involved at Chelsea. We were like, come on, yeah, you know, if Williams made the mistake, you're behind it. Come on, Brandon, get your aim. But because you don't have that connection, I think we're a lot more, and it explains a bit Twitter United, that if you're not sharing a moment, like I'd imagine Twitter today was fucking awful, but at the ground, we're all happy.
I think at the moment with like Martial, for example, kind of typifies where we're at United. He's got 3 goals in 3 games, but actually hasn't probably played that well. But then that moment of genius today, still trying to work out how he scored, to be honest. Can't wait to watch it on TV again to see how he actually kind of scooped it up. And
but he's got it, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's got that kind of that bit of class in those moments. We all want to see it a bit more. How that happens, nobody's quite sure. But
what I would say about that goal, I mean, it's all this cliche, isn't it? You know, worth the admission fee. But that goal was worth the admission fee. That was a moment of brilliance.
But then Nathan joined us setting off, and I was actually thinking, when was the last time we had some belters, actual belting goals at Old Trafford? And then we got fucking 2. Really? Greenwood's was fantastic.
2 brilliant goals,
Nathan?
Yeah, I think it was. We needed that first goal. Like, if it wasn't a penalty, I don't know. Like,
it was.
Hadn't have got a penalty, I'm not sure how we would have scored, if you know what I mean. I think it was quite notable that as soon as it happened, that Martial picked up the ball
intending to take it, and then I'm not sure what happened that Bruno ended up getting him. But that's quite interesting, because obviously Martial, like, it's quite good of him that if he gave it to him to take himself.
Not another penalty debacle this season. Yeah. We can't.
I loved his little skip thing that he did though when he took it.
Steve didn't like that though.
Really?
Yeah.
But
Steve's old school. Like
but then I just think watching him, like, hopefully it carries on and he doesn't get dragged down to other people.
But maybe for once he'll get dragged up to a player's level.
Hopefully, because like his vision, he's doing things that we've not seen a player do. Like, it doesn't obviously pay off every time, but he's attempting things. I've never seen someone kick the ball with the outside of his foot more than I've seen him do. But yeah, I think it's very positive. Like, he looks hungry, and like, I cannot wait to see him doing that with Rashford as well, being on the pitch.
You were upset off the City, so you didn't come out with us, and I was fuming on this, and I was so low. But the last month, I've actually felt a lot more positive about being United than I have all season. I feel, I'm not saying it's not the fucking.
United's not going to. There's nothing we see in that team that's kind of what we don't already know. We know there's certain elements that are mediocre and needs to be replaced. And there's little snippets of genius and there's bits of promise, and that's. And you just want to see players like running, trying their hardest, giving 110%, and build on from that. That's where we're at.
That's what's frustrating about Martial, is because today I thought he did that. He put in the work. He looked strong, like he was shrugging people off, whereas on another week he would just be completely uninterested.
He's done it now three times this round.
Hopefully.
But here's the thing, so we said in all season,
I think it's frustrating that he doesn't do it on. Go on.
So we said, what was our target? We said if Rashford and Martial, we didn't really say leave, or if they get 50 goals this season, that is a good season for them. Rashford's on 19 and 31 and Martial's now on 15 and 31, so they're on 34 goals already.
Is it 15 and 31?
15, because he was injured for two spells.
See, something I read was it was 14 and 20.
Well, the league is poor, but I'm going on everything. But their record,
it's pretty much one in two anyway.
And their record,
for any striker, is
Marshall's in combined, you know, the whole career is 62 and 204, and Rashford 64 and 201. So they've gone from one in three, two. We got rid of Lukaku, and people are still arguing about that, and they're both getting one in two. And I know we need to see more of both. But that's what we asked of them, isn't it?
Well, I think Rashford, until he got injured, has stepped up massively this season. Martial, it's perhaps not been as obvious with, but when you listen to those stats, he's scoring one in two.
Yeah.
And, on his day, he's a special player, isn't it? Like, there's not many players who score a goal like he scored today. And three goals in a week that have all been important. So if he can carry on like that to the end of the season, then,
And the other end, where I thought we looked dodgy at the back today more than recently, but we've not 7 clean sheets in 11 or 10.
Yeah.
So they.
Well, that's the basis to go on and win games, isn't it? That's the problem that we've seen.
So
first
are we seeing? Or are we? What are we?
I still don't know. I mean, at times in that first half today, it was a hard watch, and even up to about the hour mark, you were struggling to see where the coaching was. There wasn't a kind of pattern to the play, and then we scored that second goal, and it all settled down.
I think today, if we'd gone 1-0 down.
It's
going to be a
totally
massive
different.
It's Burnley all over again, so can't get too giddy. But I think once you get one goal, two goals, and then there's a bit more space, then the qualities of players we have at the moment, that's when.
But the thing is, we've had a fragile confidence all season, but are we now seeing, like we've said, individuals, Ollie is getting better out of the injury, but not the team. But are we now seeing a team form?
Well, I think the difference in the last few weeks, without getting too carried away. I was going to say the difference, I think, in the last few games, or the last couple of games at least, has probably been Fernandes, without getting carried away about him.
Yeah.
But what we said all season
the thing we lack the most is any kind of creativity from that midfield. When teams sitting against us, we've got no idea how to break them down, and he looks like he's going to give us that.
Yeah.
So he's not going to turn us from an average team into a bug on his own. But I think he can make a big difference to us. He already looks like he is doing.
And I'd only give us a goal and an assist
today.
Yeah, but the rest of the team did not look like they knew how to break Watford down. That's the worry,
But you look when he, so on that second goal, and obviously we talked about Martial's brilliance, and there was still a lot to do from Martial. But, Shaw did very well, but as soon as the ball came to Fernandes, he played it forward quickly, just got it into Martial, and he didn't dwell on it, he didn't go sideways, he just got it in, forward pass into the striker, and it opened him up. And Lingard and Pereira are never playing that pass, they never opened up Watford like that.
So but we're also playing James, I think, has hit the wall.
Yeah.
He should have had a rest. We knew he was overplayed, and now that is.
Yeah.
So the hindsight, but if he'd have had the rest.
The goal came, him and Bruno did have a bit of interplay today, because that's where the penalty came from, was him and James. So, but yeah, but I think he just. That's the thing, he's so young, and he should never have been in a situation where he was coming in and playing every week.
Yeah.
He just needs a goal, doesn't he? Like, because he started off so well. Maybe that's the thing. He started off so well and scored two or three brilliant goals in his first few games. So our expectations are that much higher that anything less, everyone would, a bit disappointed by it. So maybe he spoiled himself by starting so well.
Yeah. But what are our expectations? Because Ollie said after, it might have been Chelsea game, who did we play before Chelsea, before the winter break?
The Wolves.
And he said, this is a work in, and he said it, if you watch his, he said it about 6 times, this is a work in progress. So I think,
well, we all said that at the start of the season, didn't we, that it was going to take time. I mean, it almost had to get worse before it could get better, because we were getting rid of a lot of players, and you can't replace them overnight. And we all said, they should have replaced the card, they should have done, but you can't replace 6 or 7 players in one window. That is going to take time. It's whether, the question is still whether
Ollie's still there. I've want him to get to October, November next year, see where we are there. Do you, Sam?
My call is I'd give him next transfer window and the winter transfer window, and we're still in the same situation then.
Oh, so you'd even give a full
year from now, because it's and he has to be back. That's assuming he's back, because otherwise he's just hanging the man out to dry. If he's not given a proper transfer window, the three signings he's got in and the people he's got out, personally I think just the type of individuals we need and change around. So it's
so you keep, even if we didn't make this argument of fourth, is fourth enough?
This season for me is kind of every three hit for him, as long as I can see progress, and that's what I see in terms of change.
Well, my problem is though.
Have you seen?
I'm not sure about that.
So progress.
So I say, I see progress in terms of like the characters they got out of the clubs. Some of the players that come in to me, even not to see better footballers per se, but just in terms of the attitude, and that becomes infectious as in positivity rather than negativity. Obviously, we've still got Pogba floating around in the background. How that resolves itself is going to be interesting, I think.
How much we can get.
Exactly. Hopefully, he has a great Euros, boost his price up, move him on, shake hands.
But doesn't even that become too late? I'm dreading. Yeah. I would rather May the 20th just say sold Paul Pogba, because if we delay it
and he has a bad one, then
Ruud van Nistelrooy return to training before Fergie had said
but the thing we don't want is his sale holding up any kind of movements and bringing people in. That's the big thing.
That's true. Well, that's why you want to get the sale done as soon as you can, don't you?
So you two are waivers.
Well, I just said, I think a lot will depend on how the rest of the season goes. I mean, there's still a lot to play for, isn't there? So it could look very different. If we can get into the top four, if we can get to one of the finals.
Or the top five.
Yeah, the top five maybe, But if we fall off and come seventh and get knocked out of both the cups in the next month, and there's little sign of progress in terms of the way we're playing, I can't see him being here at the start of next season. So I think he's just... The problem Ollie's got is from day one, really.
We're judging him game by game.
He's game by game. His job is always on the line from one game to the next, isn't it? Because we've never really had a run since he was the, you know, caretaker, and he did have a run of results. Since he signed permanently, there's never really been a run.
Yeah.
And you know, you need that really at this club, don't you?
But maybe we are on one that we're just not seeing. As I said, if we have kept 7 out of 11 or 10 clean sheets, if we have.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think, you know, a lot of it will depend on how the next couple of months go.
The players have never stopped trying for him. I know it's.
Yeah, I agree.
There'll be someone listening. That goes, you are Manchester United.
Yeah, yeah.
None of you should accept this. But we don't go, and you were saying this, you do not go from 6th to 2nd, even then, you know.
No.
So we almost have to fucking.
Well, we're not expecting that, are we? We weren't expecting to be challenging for the title this season.
Nathan, you've all.
It's the same as what Ben says. I think it's. It would depend on what happened. If, you know, like I've obviously been said that I don't think that he's been good enough, but I've never not wanted him to, you know, like that's very, very different with, like,
yeah.
When it was Mourinho, I just didn't like him as a person. I just didn't like him from day one.
It's an understatement. Yeah.
Whereas, like, there's nothing more that I'd like than for Ole to have succeeded. But obviously, yeah, it just depends on if.
I still, you know, get caught if we in don't the romance of Ole, that I'd be absolutely gutted.
But the thing is, he's not a Kevin Keegan character where it's based on kind of all this kind of fancy. He's trying to put foundations in.
Yeah, you can.
So he's putting the club first. He could take the easy choices and make. He could have kept Lukaku, maybe Sanchez, and blowing budgets and all that kind of stuff. But you get the feeling that he's actually thinking 18 months, 2 years down the line, and it may well be that he's setting the foundations for somebody else to got rid of all the crap. But
and that's what I said. Someone said Pat at Chelsea was, he's not going to be the one to win us the league, but he might be the one, or is the one, to take us to a level where the next manager doesn't inherit all the shit that Jose inherited. Van Gaal created half of it,
I was thinking back to like Ron Atkinson, because Ron Atkinson was a very short term manager at the time. You'd always buy players like 27, 28 that only had the short shelf life. As Fergie came in, had a totally different ethos, got the young players in, and I think that's what, obviously to a lot lesser degree, and time will tell, but I think that's what Solskjaer's trying to do.
One thing he does kind of make me wonder is whether they gave him the wrong job. Almost like what we're saying here in terms of what he's done well, it makes him sound like the ideal sort of director of football,
I think we need, you know, I'd like a 60-year-old fucking.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting.
Mina Raiola, get him. He'd fuck everyone over.
But, you know, what Ollie's done is his recruitment's been good. If we're looking at, like, what his positives are, plus points, the players he's brought in pretty much to a man have been good, I think.
Yeah.
The players he's got rid of, I know everyone's sort of trying to rewrite history a bit with Lukaku, but at the time nobody was sorry to see the back of Lukaku.
I mean, so the main thing with that
we did gone. Say though, we did say
we should have replaced him.
He wasn't as bad as he was.
No,
he just.
But I think he didn't
want to be there though, did he? And that's the majority of the battle.
But that's what you get rid of every player who doesn't.
Yeah.
And so I think in terms of setting a general direction of travel, like the players he's brought in, the players he's got rid of, the sort of ethos he's trying to build, all that stuff's good. What I'm struggling a bit more with is like the day-to-day side of it, in terms of the coaching
and the game.
Who's improved? The game manager, but also the players. Like Rashford's definitely improved. Like, you know,
yeah, but Fred.
Yeah, Fred has improved. That's fair. Yeah.
The last couple of months, he's been
Lindelof.
As a team, from game to game, you see what the plan is, and what, you know. Even we talk about the sometimes I struggle with what the plan is
today. Like, and we were supposedly.
The one thing I struggle is when they do the passing out from the back.
Yeah, which is
that's kind of suicidal.
Yeah.
So I think there's still a lot of things that look to me like
and
they've gone wrong on the coach on the training pitch.
Like, I would have made. Oh, what did Alan Keegan call them?
So yeah, they made all three substitutions at the same time, didn't he? You can't, when it's two, the Alan Keegan guy would say it's a double substitution. You think he'd say a triple substitution. He called it a multiple substitution. That we were just
we did laugh at that. But you'd have made all that. You've got another game, big game. Just little things, but you make those 20 minutes to go. Although we did get to see Danny Welbeck and Cleverly, and we didn't even realise Danny Welbeck was still, alive. Or
Cleverly didn't even get a round of applause.
That was like an afterthought.
Did Cleverly come on?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't even.
I must admit, I missed that one as well. I was supporting Welbeck, and there's some people behind me.
No, I can't.
I liked him. What was he supposed to do? He wasn't getting football.
But I'm so gullible at football loving. I still had visions that Danny Welbeck would fucking. Whereas with Greenwood, you can actually see how clinical he is.
You said before about looking forward to seeing the Marshall. I'm looking forward to seeing this Greenwood one.
Yeah. Well, there were two great goals. Yeah.
And he's clinical.
It could be more in the top corner if you tried. Oh, yeah. It was right in front of him.
And if Agalu gets one, he should have got one on Monday.
Yeah.
He had half a chance today.
Yeah.
Well, I said all along, I don't think as a loan signing that's a bad signing personally. I mean, I'd rather have done we did that than sign Josh King for 20 million. Then he's in the squad and we've got to work with him.
That's exactly.
There's no risk with it. Yeah. You know, he's got some track record in the Premier League. We need an extra body. He comes in, if he scores a few, great. If he doesn't, we're no worse off.
It's still a scandal we're in that position, though, having to sort of hunt around for an emergency strike.
Yeah. I do think Ollie, after the home leg against City, went, for fuck's sake, I need now Fernandes and I need a fucking striker because I am going to lose my job. And that has actually taken us to a place where hopefully he doesn't lose his job. Sorry, Sam's going to the bar just for visual effects. No,
I think Fernandes, like I say, I think he is going to make a big difference. I mean, Sam said there about, it's bad that we're in a situation where we're scrubbing off a striker, but I think people make too much of that. I think, like, you know, we all talk about recruitment and everything's got to be planned out, but it's like, you know, sometimes it's like we've never had to do an emergency signing. You know, we signed Kante, I'm not saying for a second he's going to be another Kante. What I am saying
not
is,
even for Kante, a nanosecond,
that was never planned at all. It was a phone call where Howard Wilkinson rang Ferguson by Dennis Irwin and we signed Kante off the back of it. So sometimes I think people get a bit too caught up in everything's got to be planned out. Sometimes you go, all right, we need it, he's available, let's bring him in.
I have thought this a bit. Don't we overthink everything? You know, like in Bruges, I only checked Twitter. I posted a couple of drunken things, but I didn't look at my notifications to see if anyone had called me a cunt. I didn't.
Because you knew you wanted
to. Yeah. I've found it's not some, you know, I'm just saying in the here and now, just to go and think, will we win and will I have an enjoyable day is enough for now, because we get so clinical and critical about everything.
In some ways,
everything.
That's enough full stop, isn't it? I mean, we've been so spoiled, haven't we? And you kind of like, you know, it is important, of course it is, but ultimately, what's it about? Going to the game with your mates, having a good day out, and if you're lucky, seeing some goals and a bit of entertainment, which we've seen today.
We know Glazers are the problem. Like I said to a lad, you know, nothing would. If you ask me what I prefer this whole summer, it's Paul Pogba goes May the 20th and Ed Woodward goes the same day. And like, we have a night of the long nights to fucking reinvent. If we are stuck with the Glazers, then get rid of a bloke who's incompetent, mismanagement. Mm-hmm. And both of them would signify a change in the whole fucking perspective.
I think, obviously, we probably are stuck with the Glazers until they decide otherwise. But we could, even with the Glazers, we could be doing better if we had somebody competent running the football side of things. So I think any kind of protests and stuff from here and in, initially the target should be Woodward. Get Woodward out of there. Because, you know,
this disappointment has died a death again, Ben.
Well, it didn't last very long, did it? But, you know, there you go.
But I don't know what to. I could tell, Pete, you know, we had a fucking massive Glazers out. You could tell that.
Well, the problem is, like, you know, even on the Wolves thing, the support was split on it from day one, weren't they? As soon as there was talk of a walkout, a lot of people were very anti it from, you know, and in the end, there was nothing, was there? I mean, I didn't really see
anything. But also, using a fellow United fan for not. It goes back to what we were saying before we did this. If someone disagrees with you, it's all right. You don't then need to follow it up with "you're a cunt" because you don't agree with me. And I think we've lost that ability. And you're certainly never going to persuade someone in an argument by starting it off with the second interaction going, you're a cunt. You know, like, when has anyone ever gone, yeah, you know, I am a cunt, and you're right about your original point.
Well, I mean, as we're talking about, that's a wider society thing, isn't it? That's not just United's fan base or football, that is the whole of, you know, look at how divisive any argument is these days, whether it be Brexit, anything to do with politics. There's no kind of middle ground, is there? It's,
no.
You know, it's here or it's there. And if you think the opposite, I can say.
But middle of the road is not a bad place. Not Tony Blair middle of the road, I'm talking Scott McTominay.
Who you got to see again today?
Who I got to see.
I thought you were making a plug.
No, I was a bit wider. I'm done with that, in case anyone more abuses me. I'm done with.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing with, you know, with Air United, I don't know, it's like, kind of is.
But it is a fun experience, that's
the role, isn't it?
This today is enjoyable. Monday was fantastic.
Do you know what, in the last how many years now? It's seven years, is it, since Fergie left? And they've been mediocre for 7 years. I've never stopped enjoying going to the match. I still love having a drink with mates before the game. I still love it when I walk around White City and you see Old Trafford for the first time. And, you know, as depressing as the football is, you know, the overall experience, I still enjoyed it.
There were some games on Van Gaal.
Yeah, Van Gaal, I was going to...
In my end, I wasn't seeing the shot and goal.
But we didn't see a goal.
To be fair, you were...
The shot and goal.
Well, I'm in a Stretford end, so I was a bit more fortunate.
you saw two goals in eight games. Yeah. No, Van Gaal and Mourinho. Mourinho's, you know, like...
Yeah.
The cult of Jose, I don't understand. You know, where you call one of your own equivalent of he's a twat, is never going to work.
Well, he's already started doing it at Spurs.
Yeah. Well, I watched a bit of that game yesterday and the way he set up, and not one part of me was missing Mourinho.
At the end of the game, he didn't even like shake Lampard's hand at the end, he just stormed off, and it's like.
Well, it's not like you had a relationship, right?
Exactly.
You're a dick. You're a dick.
And it were, I can see, like, there's a Spurs fan I know, and he was unsure of Jose, and he went, and we both, you know, it were, if he wins them a cup, that's progress for them. That's how.
For Spurs.
No, it is, because they don't, you know.
It's worth them selling the soul to do that, but for us, it wasn't.
But it might not. You actually get the impression it's. Usually Jose upturn, you know, but he might
well,
not
what
even.
Trophies are you going to win there this season?
No, but that's what I mean.
Maybe
but
the FA Cup.
Next
the
season
League.
It might all go tits up and he's done, because they won't give him the time that United fans did. I'm so glad we had to try it, but you know.
I think, let's be honest, I mean, I think most of us, you know, when it happened, we thought that it would bring us success. And we realised that the football wasn't going to be what we wanted.
But we still won. We still went to Stockholm and
two trophies. Yeah. You know, I know.
Yeah, but
there's worse failures that we've seen. So
David Moyes' charity shield.
He never challenged for a league title, and you know. Yeah, okay, he did win a couple of trophies.
But I don't think anyone could in this Fergie apart with what we have, because we're still, as I say, like the Haaland thing. People go, you know, Raiola doing. What he does, if the people I trust it to believe the project we're selling, which is that it's a 3-year plan, so by the second year we hope to be competing again, by the third year we'll be properly up there, and that to Haaland wasn't enough. So it's not the agent's
fees. Is that the case?
But
did United walk away because it was Raiola?
No.
Or was it wages?
United didn't walk away, bollocks, did they? Ollie was gutted that Haaland didn't come. But do you not... So forget the agent thing. Do you not more admire that United are being honest? Instead of going to a player, yeah, you'll be winning the league next year.
No.
You hope to be in 3 years. Be honest.
Yeah.
You're in for it, so Fernandez is joined, thinking it might, you know. But I'd like to think, because someone's got to stop the fucking unmentionables.
But then you do get the situation, there are occasions where one player comes in and galvanises a club, and you think of like back a few years ago when Suarez, Liverpool,
yeah,
team of mediocrity, but he was like pulling up trees and pretty much got to that inches.
Well, but Arida bought back today and he went, just get that world class edition in the summer. Whoever that is. Yeah, don't with our footballing experts and scouts.
Was world class player, supposedly.
Yeah, no, Alexis but you
Sanchez
know.
Was supposed to, well,
but can't
was
that.
But then, say, like Ronaldo won the league that year when
do you know what? I mean, I've been critical of Woodward in the recruitment, and you know, rightly so. But I mean, when Sanchez came in, I thought that that was going to be like Ronaldo into. I thought, because at that point in time, Mourinho had us quite solid, we were out to beat, and I thought Sanchez is going to be like this, you know, the icing on the cake. As soon as the player comes in, and when the game's 0-0, he'll come up with a moment of magic, and it'll be a 1-0 win, like Cantona in 96, like Ronaldo.
But shouldn't it be the due diligence, the Arsenal fans going, he was old, he was very stroppy, he was trying to get the whole dressing room to suit his agenda. Where's your due diligence?
Yeah, exactly.
If their fans knew it, then surely everyone in that dressing room would have gone.
But then there's always that, at the time, it was like it was a free transfer, effectively, with Mkhitaryan going
But the wages, the worst decision Ed Woodward had ever made was paying him that wages, because that set a bar then that everybody else wanted. Like Herrera is a player we could have done with keeping. Well, we couldn't pay him what he was asking for, but you could understand why he was asking.
Not even
for that.
2 years, Ben. That's how many.
Two years in general.
That's a recent, you know.
So, that was just a terrible decision. But I mean, a lot of us were excited about it at the time.
But the thing that stroppiness though is all kind of came across as, well, he was a winner and like Arsenal wasn't winning. That was the way it was kind of packed up. But then you get that stroppiness. It was down to attitude stroppiness from former clubs. They were going to touch the cancer now back in the day.
Yeah,
so you had a list of problems.
That's true as well. Yeah.
But that's where them.
I mean, the thing is,
like, swoon about Eric and them, you know that. Yeah. Marriage made in heaven, Fergie would tolerate. Yeah. Like Lee Sharp, I'm sure you've all been at a dinner where Lee Sharp has told the story.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to wear the little club suit, and Eric's not wearing it. Oh, Eric. Yeah. You know, like, comes in.
Yeah. Well, like we said before, I mean, that was completely off the cuff of signing, but there was no planning went into that side.
Yeah.
We weren't even looking at it.
So find the fucking one like that.
That's just luck in a way, though, isn't it? I mean, if Al Wilkinson had never rang Fergie up to ask for Denny Sirwin, would we have ever signed Cantona? You know, it's. And we're waiting for that player to come out with one.
But part of me still feels dirty that, you know, fourth becomes a target, and I've been caught up with it in the last couple of weeks. Where that shouldn't be a target.
No, it shouldn't be, but again.
I don't want
Europa
again.
We have to be real. No,
even though the trips, you know. For the lads especially, but they're all knackered. If you see them today, they definitely don't want another season. Every United fan who's gone in Bruges definitely doesn't. Oh, for fuck's sake. Sorry, I keep fucking up. I've actually paid money for all these apps that fuck up the audio, by the way, lads.
Again?
No, it's still going. So we're coming to. Right, I'll tell you one thing.
I'll tell you this.
They've still got to come. Let those fuckers lose on the unmentioned, please, because that would just be unbearable. Well, I watched a film called The Quake, a Norwegian drama about an earthquake in Oslo. Don't get caught up in that. Where apparently there's a fault line in Oslo. And on the bloke who investigated it, I think I had a beer. I don't drink every night, to anyone listening thinking. But there was a hole punch. So I said to my missus, what? There's things you don't see anymore. Hole punches. Now, in my generation's day, every fucker had a hole punch. Do you have a hole punch?
In the house.
Do you?
Probably, because my wife's a primary school teacher. So she will definitely have a hole punch.
Do you have a hole punch?
No.
So what happens to the death of the hole punch?
Well, they're alive and well in primary schools, so that's all I can tell you.
Very sad story though, the quake.
What, the hole punch?
Do you have a hole punch?
No.
No.
Do you know where the term daylight robbery comes from?
No.
I learned this yesterday. So, in the old days, you had to pay a tax on windows. And if you didn't pay a tax, it'd brick up the windows. Which was literally coined as daylight robbery.
Okay, no.
Well, there you go.
turned into QI. Right, so on those notes that piss off everyone who... This is pretty much... We talk more about that sort of stuff than United when this goes off. Final thoughts, Zach, on United. Today.
Today, great moments. Enjoy those moments. Have a beer with mates. All good.
And what do you want to see out there next? This good week. Like Orwell, good but week.
Win on Thursday.
Yeah.
Against Bruges.
And where Nathan you'll be selling.
Yes.
As ever.
And then
Nathan will be at the top of the map, will be way.
Yes.
Thanks to everyone who bought the mag today. We do love doing it. Ben writing it. It was fucking cold and windy today though.
It was.
And the people staring at you as you go past, that's...
You're not staring at me.
No, because you're
alright. Just
I'm bald, rough from Bruges, had enough.
Nobody was staring at you.
I want my bed. What do you want from the next week?
Nathan's had two wins, but I think we'll win on Thursday. I'm not confident about Goodison. If we can win at Goodison, I think that could even represent a corner turn. If we can get three wins on the belt, two tough away games, I think if we win at Everton, we've got a real good chance of coming forward.
Can't be any worse than last year.
It was dreadful last year. I don't fancy us at Everton.
It has been for a while. Did for Moyes. Fucking nearly did for all.
We went last year when it was 4-0. I've got to say,
they gave
the
up
worst,
though.
The worst performance I've seen in 30 years of watching that. It was gutless.
We've still got a few players playing, let alone at this club, in that game though.
Yeah.
So do we forgive them now? Nearly a year on?
Well, we don't forgive Paul Pogba. Yeah. Maybe we forgive some of them. I mean, it depends what they've done in the interim, really, doesn't it? One of the worst players that day was Rashford. But I think Rashford has turned things around in the last, you know, since then he's been.
But I think he was injured and he probably
maybe he
had
was
enough
around
of
now,
that.
But he was as bad as anyone that day. But I mean, the thing that struck me the most that day was the lack of leadership on the pitch. What I do think is we are starting to address that. I think Maguire gives us some leadership at the back, and Fernandes has definitely given us some leadership.
Yeah, I thought
yeah, that was, yeah. He's cajoling, but he was doing that at Chelsea, even first game. He was going straight away. You should be doing this.
Yeah, he was captain at Sporting, wasn't he?
Was
so he's
oh,
already,
right.
You know.
Oh, they
he
didn't
was
give
captain.
It just because he was leaving.
No, I think he was. Right. Yeah, I think he was actual captain.
But what
so
I like about Maguire?
That's good.
Not only that, but Maguire does still make mistakes. But I think I like him. I've always liked him. I'd go as far almost a love, like love. But he doesn't hide after a mistake. So say today he made that cock up, straight away he wants to get the ball and take it through the middle.
Well, that was a Cantona thing, wasn't it, as well?
He doesn't ever hide.
I'll tell you what though,
Derby worries
me though,
Ben.
He does come across as a real simpleton.
Really?
Why? What do you think? Have you seen the Just Eat advert for the World Cup? He looks like a fucking simpleton.
Derby worries you, or the Derby?
No, Derby.
And the Derby. Both. Oh,
yeah. No, Derby, that away worries me a bit.
I think we'll win that. Yeah. I'm more worried about Everton in the next 10 days.
Right, Nathan?
Well, Thursday, get Thursday, and then hopefully get a good draw in the next round, and then you just go from there, don't you? Like, if that is... I think... We don't know what's going on with City stuff and whether it's fourth or fifth or whatever, but surely that should be...
I don't think UEFA will go, we've fucking punished you. You know, we'll give... Unless they really hate City and there is
that. But then, so then
who will give it United in favour of
seven? But who else will get the spot
give
then?
Give us it anyway.
That would mean there'd be one less team going through, so surely it would drop down. But I think, in a way, that would... That's a bigger incentive for, like, you know,
they'd have handmade signs at least 10 foot high then.
We can't bank on fifth, can we? We've got to work on the basis
but
one thing I would say is looking at the lineup in the Europa League, I really don't think we're going to win that this season.
No, I don't have
the feeling.
Much stronger
lineup
than
the year we did with it.
Yeah,
some good teams in that.
Yeah, but there were then. But I had a feeling then. I don't Gdansk has been my dream, but I just don't have that.
No, I just look at, like, you've got Porto, Leverkusen, Inter Milan.
Yeah, but even Thursday's tough.
Yeah, because no, they not were. No, you're right. I do think we'll get through Bruges, but I can't see us.
Even Wolves are going to go all out to win this. Like, they're a very good team.
No, Arsenal, I mean, to be honest with you, Arsenal, I wouldn't necessarily fancy us over two legs of Arsenal, because I think Arteta's starting to get them playing a bit. So, you know.
Right, okay. And if you all watch Sopranos. No.
I've never watched it.
Oh my god! I can't say about a death in Sopranos. You please watch it.
No, wait, don't say it. Okay.
Please. All right. Please. If you've never watched it, watch it. Right. Thanks, everyone. Cheers, lads. Thanks. And finally, a tribute to Harry Gregg. He never wanted to be considered or called the hero of Munich, but he is to so many of us. What he did transcends football, and we looked up to him on so many levels, and you almost forgot his football achievements as a fine goalkeeper, but it is sad on so many levels, and it was so upsetting to hear the news. And he wrote himself a poem about the babes in Munich, and I'll read it to you now. How they laughed and loved and played the game together, played the game and gave it every ounce of life, and the crowds they thronged to see such free young spirits. But good God, there weren't many coming home. The dice was cast, for some the last, the final challenge. On a snowbound ground in far-off Serbia, the tie was won, the songs were sung, we sang together. But good God, there won't be many coming home. Roger Byrne, Mark Jones and Salford's Eddie Coleman, Tommy Taylor, Geoffrey Bent and David Pegg, Duncan Edwards and Dublin's own boy Liam Whelan, my good God. There wasn't any who came home. Then Murphy picked the standard up. When all looked lost, he made the cut. The fresh young flowers he'd fondly nourished on a Munich runway had sadly perished. With aching heart, he beat the gong and told the world the babes lived on. Then Bestie came, he eased the pain, with Charlton Law and Crerand. The years between were cold and mean. They never had that feeling. Pretenders came and left again. There wasn't any healing. Then Fergie came and feigned the flames with Eric's Gallic passion. He gave us gigs, he gave us goals, he gave us Button Beckham. He brought in Keane to lead the team to even greater glory. My nightmare's gone, my dreams move on. Again I see the phoenix. There are those gone down that long, long road before us, yet each morn we try and keep them in our sight. In memory's eyes, the Busby babes are all immortal. The Red Devil's spirit lives. It never died. And he ended his autobiography with these words, talking about the passing of Ray Wood. The death of a survivor inevitably leads to reminisce, but the melancholy is usually short-lived. When Woody died, I looked out some old photographs, one in particular catching my eye. It was a team climbing the steps to board the Lord Burley, Woody resplendent in his camel hair coat. I mourn their passing, yes, but more than that, I celebrate the life they led. On the beach, in the still hours before the world awakes, I often see their faces. They are all young men. We all are. Rest in peace, Harry Gregg.